This is Pastor Dale Swartz, and I do welcome you to another broadcast of The Voice of Tomorrow, brought to you by Kingdom Ministries Incorporated. Kingdom Ministries is dedicated to striving to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ and the coming kingdom of God in a simple and clear and understandable way. I'd like to have you get a Bible and a piece of paper and a pencil, because I want you to write down the passages that I will be using today and refer back to them periodically so that you can verify for yourself that the things that are being said on The Voice of Tomorrow are gospel, that they are from Scripture. I want you to be able to go back and verify them for yourself. I mentioned a passage last week from the book of Acts in chapter 17. And Paul the Apostle, as he has established a church in the city of Berea, Acts chapter 17, verse 10 and 11, the people in the city of Berea studied the Scriptures to make sure for themselves that the things that were being told to them were true. And that's what I want you to do as you listen to The Voice of Tomorrow. I want you to follow along, write the verses down, go back to them, and re-examine them for yourself. Because it's important that you understand what the Bible says, not just taking the word of your pastor, and we trust that he is giving you actual fact from Scripture. But I want you to also be able to verify for yourself what the Scripture is saying. On The Voice of Tomorrow, I'm going to give you book, chapter, and verse substantiation for the things that I refer to and things that I tell you, so that you can write them down and go back and re-examine them. One verse that one reason for that is in 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter, and chapter 3 and verse 15. It's important for you to do this because in this passage, the Scripture says to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. To be ready to be able to share what you believe and why you believe it. There are many, many people that go to church. I mean, if you drive around on a Sunday morning, you see an awful lot of people dressed in suits, and I'm assuming that they are going to go to a house of worship to listen to God's Word being presented to them. But how many of these people share their faith on a daily basis? Christianity is not just going to church on Sunday, or if you worship on Saturday, going to worship on Saturday. Christianity, as I've put it, you can't just sing on Sunday and swing on Monday. You have to live your Christianity 7 days a week. I'm going to assume that you understand the word Christian. A Christian is a person who follows Jesus Christ. And a person who follows Jesus Christ is going to imitate, going to emulate the life of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and the first verse, if you write that one down, I want you to see what Paul the Apostle is saying. He tells his readers at the church at Corinth, he says, "Be imitators of me as I am also of Christ. Be an imitator of me. Follow my example." In other words, Paul is saying to his readers, if you want to know what it's like or how to live the Christian life, follow my example. If you remember growing up, you used to play follow the leader, and everybody followed and did exactly what the leader did. This is what we're encouraged to do by the Apostle Paul, to follow him. He's following the example of Jesus Christ, and he wants his readers, and that includes us, because we've got the New Testament written down for us today. It says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Being a Christian is not just going to church on Sunday and putting on an act, putting on your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes and let people see this is what I do on Sunday morning. It's putting your Christianity into practice. It's where the rubber meets the road on Monday morning, on Tuesday morning, and the rest of the week when you do the things that Jesus has instructed. The gospel message of Jesus Christ involves a number of things. It not only revolves around his death, burial, and resurrection, but it revolves around a message that Jesus preached about the kingdom of God. And that's what the Voice of Tomorrow program tries to do. We at Kingdom Ministries are trying to get the message of God's kingdom to people who haven't heard this message. You don't hear much about the kingdom of God in a lot of churches, either on radio or television or in your own church. And I would like to have you challenge your pastor about the kingdom of God. For this kingdom that Jesus talked about, it was near and dear to him. He talked about it often during his ministry. He told parables about the kingdom of God is like this, the kingdom of God is like that, and we'll be going into parables from time to time. But he illustrated what God's kingdom is going to be like, a future kingdom for you and me, in order to endure. He gave examples of what the kingdom was going to be like so that we would be prepared for the future. The future. The kingdom of God is future. It's a literal event that's going to take place and something that is going to be set up. It's going to be God's government. Now, what I want you to do is turn to the book of Matthew chapter 16 this morning. And I want you to check out this particular passage. Matthew chapter 16 in your Bible. And this chapter has a great statement made by Peter, one of Jesus' apostles. As he had been with Jesus, and the other apostles had been with Jesus for approximately a year and a half up to this point, the people had heard him speak, they had heard him teach. The apostles heard some of the parables, some of them he explained and went back and told what these parables meant. And if you want to look at some of those parables, you can find them in Matthew 13. That's a good one that has a lot of parables in it. But Matthew chapter 16 is the chapter I want to point out for the next couple moments. That when Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi, and this is chapter 16 starting with verse 15, he came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi and he asked the disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And their response was that some of them think that you're John the Baptist, Elijah, or others say Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. Verse 15, he said to them, "But whom do you say that I am?" And Peter, speaking for the rest of the group, spoke up. Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's the statement that he made. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it was on that foundation, the foundation that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that Jesus said, "I will build my church." And in a couple of weeks, we'll go more into this 16th chapter and this statement that Peter makes and tear it apart and look at it closely. But what I want you to see this time, today, is that when you get to verse 21 of this chapter, the scripture says that from that time forth, after that, from that point on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things to the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Verse 21 says that after about a year and a half of Jesus' ministry and after this great statement that Peter made, he began to tell them about his death, about his crucifixion, about how he's going to be mistreated by the Jewish leaders, be killed, and his resurrection the third day. He began at that point in time. The message of Jesus was about the kingdom of God from the beginning of his ministry. It wasn't until in the middle of his ministry that he even mentioned anything about an upcoming death. And I feel this is vital because so many people think Jesus came to do 3 days' work, death, burial, and resurrection. And that is vital. It's very, very important. But it's not all that he came to do. The message that he preached during his earthly ministry was about God's kingdom and to prepare people for that kingdom and for them to realize that he was the king of that kingdom. And Peter makes that statement. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus was the person that God has put in charge of this coming kingdom. Now, as we go through this study, I want you to have the kingdom of God become a household word. I want it to become familiar. I want it to become more important and familiar language, because this is Bible language. The Bible talks about the kingdom of God, and it talks about the kingdom of heaven, and they're synonymous terms. One, the kingdom of heaven from the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John talk about the kingdom of God. They're the same thing, but this is something that is coming in the future. It's a literal kingdom that's going to be established, and we will verify this through the scripture, the Old Testament as well, using the new and the old and comparing the two, because Jesus, as he began his ministry, he said he did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, to make it more complete. He came to do what the old law for the Jews could not do, and that was to provide life. So I want you to have the kingdom of God become a household word in your vocabulary, and I want you to become a student of his word. Re-examine this passage in Matthew, and you'll see that this is where Jesus began to talk about his death, burial, and resurrection. Prior to that, his message was about the kingdom. And we will be going into more examination about the kingdom of God in future days. May God bless you as you become a student of the scriptures.